And so till this morning to the message, and welcome to those folks who listen by means of recording. I'm grateful to my brothers who do the work on the sound desk here at the church and then take the message and bring it up to standard in terms of audio quality, etc. I'm grateful to you. Father God, we commit this message into your hands. We thank you for your precious word. Your word is a lamp to our feet, and it's a light to our path. And we thank you. And as we look at this subject today of the hurts in people's lives and the baggage that people carry, sometimes they carry baggage throughout their lives, we pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit will guide us as we minister this morning. And we pray that your word will be a life-giving word to many people. May it go beyond the bounds of this church and the folks listening by means of recording. Father God, I pray that we will receive testimonies of people who have been healed, helped, set free as a result of believing in your word and applying it to their lives. Father, will you bless each person here in the sanctuary? Will you bless each person today, part of our family, who for whatever reason is not able to be here? We miss them. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to bless Wellspring. Thank you for those that you've brought in the few months that I have been walking with this family. We thank you, Father. We acknowledge your goodness. We thank you for those who come into the Well Refreshment Center. Thank you for them. Wherever they are today, Lord, will you bless them, we pray. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10? It's a familiar story. And may I also advise you that this is a message that I hope to cover again when we go live with the broadcast, because it's a message that truly the world needs to hear. And when the Lord releases me to share it again with the television audience by means of internet, then I know you'll bear with me. No two messages are the same. You know, I could preach the same message next Sunday. But you say different things. You leave out some things. You add some things. You put emphasis in different places. So it's never quite the same. And I don't believe, as God's people, we tire of hearing God's word, do we really? We could hear it over and over and over, and we would get something from it afresh. So Luke chapter 10, I want to use this as the foundation scripture for one of the most important messages that I could ever share. And to my knowledge, I have never shared on this subject before. I shared on helping people who hurt. Similar message. But to my knowledge, I have never shared this particular outline before. Brand new. In fact, those of you who work on computers, I was very impressed. The other evening, I had almost completed the message. Everything was there on the screen. Everything. And I opened up a number of windows. If you say, Jim, this all sounds gobbledygook, it's gobbledygook to those who don't have computers. Those of us who do will understand you can open up different windows. And I had four or five opened up. And I closed them. Without thinking, I closed the window I was working on. Now, my computer is set to auto-save, which means that after 10 minutes, it saves everything. But for some reason, that function had not kicked in. So I lost virtually a day's work. I don't know what you would have done, but I said, oh, dear. Because what's the point? They say you shouldn't cry over spilt milk, and I've learned not to cry over computers and things like that. And the message was in my head and it was in my heart. So I thought, okay, we just start again. And this time, every few minutes, I will save it. Save it. Save it. So there's a lesson there. Don't assume your computer is saving work. Check it out from time to time. So thank the Lord he helped me not only to get it all back, but I believe along the way, added some new things. Sorry about all that. It's quite a preamble. But I like you to know what happens in the background. So John chapter 10, it's a familiar story, and it's verse 30. Jesus told lots of stories. And he said there was a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. The thieves stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and he looked and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That made all the difference, didn't it? So he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set the wounded man on his own animal and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when the good Samaritan was about to depart, he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper, and he said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. And Jesus was teaching about neighborliness, and he said, which of these do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the man said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. And as I prepared this special message, I needed a foundation. And I felt clearly the Lord was leading me to this chapter. This picture, which you can easily imagine, the man minding his own business on his way home. And he's set upon by thieves, who don't just take his valuables, but they beat him up. And they leave him bleeding and wounded and lying by the roadside half dead. And whilst my aim this morning is not to talk about religion which passed the man by, I felt that the story was so good in terms of talking about people who are hurting and people who have baggage and carry that baggage all their lives. So hold on to that story. The key being the man lying by the roadside, wounded, bleeding, half dead. That's the key. Let me say some things by way of introduction. I have, as you have, met so many people who have been abused. I myself, you'll hear in 2 weeks' time, had to leave home, run away at 17 years of age, leave home, Ireland, run to Belfast, do something I'd never done, boat, cross to England in search of a sister by adoption. So although I ran away from home, I wasn't like many who run away and have nowhere to stay. I had someone. I didn't know what the reception might be when I got there, but I'll tell you the story in 2 weeks' time, God willing. But I ran away from an abusive mother who was beating me, stripping me at 17 years of age, fully formed, fully mature, beating me until the blood would run. And I'd had enough. I couldn't take any more. I lived in great fear of her. Fear of her words, fear of her temper, fear of all of that. Fear of the abuse, fear of what she might do, because she threatened many things. And so I felt one morning, I can't take this anymore. So in a sense, I've been there. Now, if you were talking to some of these people who have this baggage of abuse and hurt and pain from the past, I discovered that the abuse may have taken place, like-minded, taken place in the home, the place that should be a place of security and love, safety. So the abuse may have taken place in the home. I'm going to speak in terms of you, because I believe someone is either listening or will listen who needs to me to talk to them. You understand? I could talk abstractly, they, people, but I'm going to use this personal pronoun, you. You may have been sexually abused by a family member, a father, a brother, an uncle, or a member of the family. Number two, the abuse may have been verbal. And that caused you mental trauma, caused you psychological problems. Number three, the abuse may have taken place when you're at school. Again, a place that you would consider to be a place of safety. You may have been abused by a teacher or by a fellow pupil. Forgive me, but I remember I had a cousin. I still have. He's in Ireland. And as a young boy at school, he was about the size of Phil. And you know Phil and me, I'm a little fella. I was even littler in those days. But this guy used to think it a great game to get on top of me, pin me to the ground, and pretend to do something he shouldn't do. And I hated it. He was bigger than me. I didn't like being pinned to the ground. I didn't like it. I didn't understand then. I was only a little fella. But I knew this is not right. This is horrible. Oh, he never did the act, but he pretended. That was bad enough. Thirdly, the abuse may have taken place in the church. A minister, a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a choir master, a fellow Christian. And fourthly, maybe you suffered an unprovoked attack. Many of us in the church were aware of people who were attacked. I'm not going to go into detail because I don't want anyone hurt by anything I'm saying. I don't want them to think I'm talking about them. Unprovoked attack. And fifthly, it might be you've suffered as a result of domestic violence. I'm not being flippant when I say Arnold and Barbara married 56 years and not one black eye throughout the whole 56 years. Not that I'm aware of. You work on it, don't you? You work it out. You don't resort to violence. I think it's horrific what some men and women go through. Awful. So you may have suffered as a result of domestic violence. And that has left you with a serious lack of self-worth, lack of security, lack of affirmation. Now the reality is this. However, wherever and whenever you suffered abuse, you fell among a thief. You fell among thieves that stole your innocence. They stole your sense of self-worth. They stole your security. Your body was abused and you were left half dead. Or you remained alive physically, but you were left with a broken heart. You were left with a wounded spirit. And the reality is there are many people that go throughout their whole lifetime weeping, sobbing, sleepless nights, on medication, different tablets to try and help them to get through the day and get through the night. Why? Because when they dare to go back down memory lane, it's so painful. What happened is so alive, it's so clear, it's there. The desire of my heart is to help to bring healing and closure to the people who have that problem. And so my question this morning is this. Is there hope that the hurt in people's lives will ever be healed? Is there hope for a person who has been abused, whether it's sexually, physically, verbally, psychologically. Can a broken heart ever be healed? Is it possible to ever break free from the painful baggage of the past? You see, the baggage that people carry, it weighs them down and it wears them out. What does the baggage contain? The baggage contains fear, guilt, shame, low self-esteem, worthlessness, hopelessness, depression, anger, bitterness, regret, remorse. And I'm sure you can add some other terms. Some people in a failed marriage are afraid to ever try again. Some people who have been betrayed by their boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancé, afraid to ever be vulnerable again, to try again. And I feel for those people. Now the question is there hope? Is there hope that things can be different? Can a broken heart be healed? Can a wounded or a broken spirit, same thing, can a wounded or a broken spirit be made whole? Can a mind constantly disturbed and tormented by the memories of the past, can that mind ever know peace? Is there hope? The Bible speaks a lot about a wounded or a broken spirit. Here's an example. Proverbs 11:25. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred. That means disappointment. It means trust betrayed. It means broken promises. Makes the heart sick. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes what?
A miserable countenance.
No. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17:22. A broken spirit dries the bones. Proverbs 18:14. This is amazing. This is a key scripture to my mind. Hold on to this. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Just checking with version, Northern Ireland version there. That's okay. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Let's see what the NIV says. But the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? It's very similar. Did you hear that? The spirit of a man, the spirit of a woman will sustain them, will get them through, will help them to keep going. But once the spirit is wounded, broken, it's goodbye. When a person is sick in their body, if their spirit is strong and positive, then their spirit will sustain them and help them to get through and even bring them to a place of full recovery. But if a person's spirit is wounded, broken, then the body will suffer, because it has no resource from which to draw strength and hope. I can illustrate this. A medical doctor, Dr. Paul Adolf, tells of an elderly patient who was recovering satisfactorily in the hospital from a broken hip. When it was time for her to go home, her daughter told her that arrangements had been made for her to go to an old people's home. Within a few hours, the patient showed general physical deterioration, and she died in less than a day. not of a broken hip, but of a broken a man who had faced the horrors of a concentration camp with gallantry, discovered after his release that it was his own son who had informed on him. The discovery beat him to his knees and he died. He could bear the attack of an enemy, but the attack of one who he loved killed him. How true those examples are. My personal experience, forgive me. My brother-in-law some years ago contacted Hodgkin's disease. He was in hospital. He had never been to my church, but he said, "Jim, I'm looking forward to getting over this. And I promise I'll be at your church. And I'll tell people what God's done for me." I used the opportunity to share Christ with him, pray with him. Not a forced prayer, not say this after me or anything like that. I loved him. I was sorry to see what was happening to him. And so I shared the gospel with him. I prayed with him. And I saw that man become full of hope. A short time later, as I stood at the end of his bed, a lady doctor, God forgive her, a lady doctor came in to visit him. My brother-in-law began to share his optimism about the future, about the hope he had. I can hear her cold, callous words as if she'd just said them a second ago. She mentioned his name. She said, "Mister," said it roughly, "Mister, you are dying." I watched my brother-in-law sink in the bed. And within hours, he's gone. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, there is the power of death and life in what? Boy, we need to be careful, don't we? We really need to be careful, precious friends, this morning. Death and life. And the power of, I watched him shrink before my eyes. Oh, people say, "Oh, he probably would have died anyway." I do believe those words spoke death to that man. And so my question is this morning, is there hope? Is there hope of ever being made whole? Is it possible to leave behind the baggage of the past? You want me to answer, don't you? I believe the answer is a very positive yes. Amen. Follow this with me. John 6:63. Jesus said this. It is the Spirit that gives life. And then he said, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they're life. Listen to this. Luke 18:27. Jesus said, the things that are impossible with men are what? They are possible with God. Luke 1:37, a famous passage. Nothing is impossible with God. I can hear the song, can't you? Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. Hold on to that. Whatever situation you face, nothing is impossible with God. Ephesians 3 verse 20 would be in my list of favorite scriptures because of the blessing I've received from it through the years. Bible says, the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How about that? according to the power that worketh in us, and that power is the Holy Spirit. That power is the power of God. That power is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Mark 9, verse 23. Mark 9, 23. The Bible says, a father brought his deaf and dumb son to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe. Do you know the rest of that verse? If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Hold on to that. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. My friend, listening to this message, you've been hurt. This message is right for you. If you can believe, if you will listen carefully to the rest of this message, I believe your day of transformation has arrived and you'll never be the same again. Let's follow this. John 8:31. Jesus is talking to some Jews who believed in him. And he said, listen, if you continue in my word, go on from here. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth. What will the truth do? Truth will set you free. Oh, how I pray that so many people will hear this message. And they'll be set free because it's true. The truth sets free. Set me free. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You do know, don't you, precious friends, that the truth is a person. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The gentleman who's just left and gone that away, I don't know him, just check. Thank you. It should be a man going really, but there we are. The truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Yes, the truth is in the word of God, of course. The Bible says, thy word is true. Thy word is pure. Yes. The Bible says the word became flesh. That's Jesus. And in verse 36 of John 8, wonderful words, the Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you really are free. You're free indeed. Luke 4 and verse 18 for a moment. Luke 4, 18. Jesus is in the synagogue. He's handed the scroll. He unrolls it. And he finds the passage, Isaiah 61, I think it is. And he says this. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He has sent me, notice, to heal the brokenhearted. And above my head here, for those listening to the recording, is a text, a scripture right the way round the window. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He has sent me, said Jesus, to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and notice, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Isaiah 53 verse 4, the Bible says, surely he, that is Jesus, surely he hath borne our sorrows and carried our griefs. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Apostle Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 24, he refers to that same scripture and he says this, speaking of Jesus, he says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Stay with me. Some people will argue, and you may have heard them, they will argue that physical healing, healing for the body, is not in the atonement. In other words, it's not in the work that Jesus did on the cross. It's not in his death. It's not in his resurrection. It's not in his stripes. I have a question for those people. How can they deny the truth of the Word of God? What do I mean? Matthew 8, verse 16. Please go with me. I forget that you have the words behind me on the screen and you don't have to go anywhere. And Anya's so fast, he can have them before I've said the reference. He's brilliant. And if my little screen was there, then I could read it too. I must, maybe Anya or someone can help me make sure that it is there, and then I can be in sync with what's happening there. So Matthew 8:16. Notice, when the evening had come, they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word, but here's what I want you to see. He healed all who were sick. Question, why? Why did he do that? Answer, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. You see, the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. Stay with me. When the Roman soldiers flogged Jesus, they struck him 39 times with their whip under law. Make a note of that. Jesus received 39 stripes. You can check this out. Medical experts tell us there are 39 categories of diseases. Isn't that interesting? I don't think it's coincidence. So Jesus received a stripe for each category of disease. Something else I believe it's important to remember, that the Roman soldiers made a crown of thorns. They say possibly the thorns would have been 6 inches long. And they didn't place it nicely on Jesus' head. They were mocking him. King of the Jews, ha ha. Most of you know this. I respect your knowledge and your experience with Christ, but not everyone is at the same level. They may not have known this. When they took the thorns, when they made a crown, when they roughly planted it on the head of Jesus so the blood ran, they may not have known this. But the thorns represented the curse. You know where I'm going, don't you? Galatians 3:3. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. In faith, I say right now, the people who are struggling with the curse of migraines, struggling with anything to do with the mind, the head, take this scripture. By his stripes you were healed. Take this scripture. They plait it crown of thorns and they put it on the head of Jesus. He bore the curse, I believe, for every possible thing that could be wrong with your head. Jesus bore it so that you might be whole. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there were some lovely hymns written years ago. How about this one? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. You know the next bit? It soothes his sorrows. It does what? It heals his wounds. And it does what? It drives away his fears. How about this one? The verse, it makes the wounded spirit whole. That's what happened to me. If you're good, I'll sing the song for you on 2 weeks' time. He touched me and he made me whole. Not half whole, not a little bit whole, but wholly whole. H-W-H-O-L-L-Y. W-H-O-L-E. He makes the wounded spirit whole. He calms the troubled breast. Oh, 'tis manna to my hungry soul and to the weary rest. How about this one? When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and he fills the life with glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. How about this? Just a line. There is a balm in Gilead, eh? That makes the wounded whole. Right now, your life can be transformed by the power of Christ because he's still the healer. I say again, Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. But as I bring this message to a close, for now, pick it up again, perhaps another time. You have a part in this healing process. So bear with me while I share a few things briefly. You have a part. First of all, your healing and your part in the healing, your part in the healing is that you come to Jesus. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come to him and asked him to be your Savior, your Lord? Have you ever done that? If you haven't, do it now. I've never regretted the day that I opened my life and my heart to Jesus Christ. Never regretted it. Never for a second from that day to this. Had I known him earlier, I wouldn't have wanted to end my life. I wouldn't have got into the mess I got into. Let me give you some words of hope. Psalm 34, verse 17. Psalm 34, 17. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Verse 19. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. I like that. Your part in the healing process means that you must renew your mind. You must renew your mind. How do you do that? You say, Jim, you read the Word of God. You listen to the Word of God. You meditate on the Word of God. You hide God's Word in your heart. David the psalmist said in Psalm 119 verse 11, he says, your Word, O God, I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Store God's Word in your heart. Meditate on it. Meditate on the promises. Meditate on the things that God says about you. You're not a nobody. You're not stupid. You're not useless. You're not finished. You're not no good. Not good grammar, but that's what people say. Oh, you're no good. Oh, you're rubbish. You're this, you're that. That's not true. God says you're the apple of his eye. God says he's engraved your name on the palms of his hands. Wow. God says, I haven't redeemed you with such corruptible things as silver and gold. I've redeemed you by the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. How about that? You're valuable this morning. You're precious. When Jesus was on the cross, you were on his mind. When you get up in a little while, get up, stand up straight. Put your head up, put your shoulders back. Walk like a prince, walk like a princess, and all God's people said. You're somebody. You're not a nobody. You're somebody because you're a child of God. You're a child of the King. The next thing that will transform your life, it did me, it did mine, is speaking the word of God. Never out of my mouth, apart from illustrating, will come the words, you can't expect a lot at my age. You jolly well can. Never out of my mouth will come the words, I'm bored. What? And many other such nonsensical, stupid, idiotic, worthless, useless, negative words. And I learned it from God saying to Joshua, Joshua, he said, let me give you the keys to success. Moses, my servant, is dead. I want you to lead 2.5, 3 million people into the promised land. And this is going to be the secret of your success. The book, my word. You meditate on it day and night. Don't let it depart from your mouth. I say lovingly this morning, if you can't speak in line with the word, shut up. And don't go away and say, Pastor told me to shut up. I'm not going back there again. I hope you hear my heart. Seriously. Because don't you realize what you speak? Where is it going? Back into your spirit? And what happens to the person whose spirit is wounded and broken? The body suffers. So you want to be well, you want to be strong. Speak the right words. And everybody said, oh, I'm glad you're still there. Speak the word. Part of your healing process is to examine your heart. Examine your heart. I've had lots of ECGs years ago. Electrical cardiograph, is it? Yeah. Examine your heart. Quickly, Proverbs 4:23. The Bible says, keep the heart, guard the heart, protect the heart, garrison the heart, guard it. Keep the heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues. The heart is the wellspring of life. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, you can't expect a lot at my age. That tells me a lot about the heart. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness be put away. God help me to forgive my mother. I was with my mother when she died. I had the great joy of being able to say, Mum, I love you, and I meant it. I've forgiven her. My cousin, I forgive him. Others who have betrayed me and hurt me, before God, I've forgiven them. Why? Because God forgave me. And God says, Jim, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. Wow, I'm in trouble then. Very simple. You say, Jim, I can't. God can help you. Be willing. Say, here I am. God, you know I'm struggling. You know I want to forgive, but I can't. God, help me. And he will. I think of Jesus on the cross. My time's out, but When I use the term blooded, you understand covered in blood. The Bible says his face was so marred, so disfigured, couldn't recognize him. Horrible, horrible, horrible death. What did he say? As he hung on the cross, did he say, Father, get him? He said two words, Father, three words, Father, forgive them. Stephen, first martyr of the Christian church, being stoned to death. What came out of his mouth? Father, forgive them. I'm going to show you a video clip in just a moment. Bear with me. It's only a few minutes long. It'll somehow nail this, get it home to you. I love the scriptures. Isaiah 61 verse 3. God talks about appointing to them that mourn in Zion, the abused, the hurt, people with a wounded spirit, the broken heart, the broken mind. Bible says God will appoint to them that mourn in Zion. He will give them, listen, beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. And how about this? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do you ever feel down? Do you ever feel you have to get the tissue out and it's all about me, what I'm going through? You feel depressed. How about putting on your garment of praise? I promise you it'll change your life. Put on a good worship tape. Sing. Anything about God. It's a great depression destroyer, eliminator. My time has gone, and I do want you to see this little video. And I'll pick this up in the will of God another time. My prayer seriously is that something I've said along the way this morning, something that's gone down and the recording, will give hope, give life, give healing to somebody. In Jesus' name. This little video is about a wonderful lady. You'll hear her voice. A lady called Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch Christian who, along with her father and other family members, helped many Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust during the World War II. And she was imprisoned for it. She was born on April 15th, 1892. She was born in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. She died at the age of 91. On the 15th of April. That's interesting, isn't it? Born on the 15th of April, died on the 15th of April. She died in 1983 in a place called Placentia, California, United States. It's only a few minutes long. It's an excerpt from one of her many sermons. This one is called How to Forgive. May God bless you as you listen to this elderly saint of God. You'll hear her voice, and may God write these words indelibly on your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Anya.
Source of our strength is Jesus Christ himself. And his cross shows us that we can accept suffering as a part of God's plan for this world. When I was in a concentration camp, one of the most terrible things I had to go through was that they stripped us of all our clothing, and we had to stand. The first time was the worst. I said, Betsy, I cannot bear this. And suddenly it was as if I saw Jesus at the cross. And the Bible tells they took his garments. He hanged there naked. And I knew he hanged there for me, for my sins. And by my suffering, I understood a fraction of the suffering of Jesus Christ. And it made me so thankful that I could bear my suffering. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Some people are afraid to look at the cross. Are you? Don't be afraid. The cross is terrible. It is terrible how Jesus suffered. Not to describe. But you must not be afraid to look at it. For if you had been the only person in the world, Jesus should have suffered for your sins. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my sins rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I have guidance every day. Hallelujah. It was some time ago that I was in Berlin, and there came a man to me and said, "Ah, Mr. Bohm, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me?" Suddenly I saw that man that was one of the most cruel overseers, guards, in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian, I have found the Lord Jesus, I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done, but then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein Ten Boom wants me forgiven. Will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. Do you know that Jesus has said that? When you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, my heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. I knew, I'm not ready for Jesus coming because I have no forgiveness for my sins. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And I said, thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you very much. Isn't that amazing? Very touching. I don't want to add anything. Thank you, Wendy. Well done. Thank you so much. Bless you.